Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, we're back. It's WrestleMania 29. Check out our Patreon. If you haven't, there is a newsletter up on there. There is extra shows, an extra show every week if you are bereft when you finish your Wrestle Me dose on this RSS feed and you're sad and upset. Get involved. There's more stuff over there coming at you hard. Comes at you hard. And
I
come
love
at you
the
harder.
Fact that we did. You've heard the pipe bomb once, and then you don't go. It's like I'm so excited because our next Patreon exclusive is Starrcade 1990.
Yes,
I am really hoping you're going to start wearing face paint like Lita. It's about time.
Oh, I quite enjoyed that. I just said life comes at you hard, and we come at you harder. That is a promo.
Yeah,
that is a snake-esque promo.
Yeah, isn't it? I was quite obsessed with Mr. Saito's promo on Starrcade 90, which we will talk about. But someone has given Mr. Saito the impression that he understands and speaks English. And I don't believe that that is a nice thing to have done to a Japanese gentleman who is trying his best.
A Japanese gentleman. Maybe it's in the same way that when Japanese, US stars go to Japan, they come back, they get rebranded as Japanese.
Yeah.
So you can contract a language.
Oh, is Tensai, is that a Japanese word, do we think?
Oh,
or is it something someone's made
Tensai.
Up?
I mean, yeah. I would
Lord
say,
Tensai.
I would say it's definitely a name. Mm. I don't know what the genesis of it was. Let's have a look. Tensai. Meaning in English. Clearly other people. Oh, it means talent or gift.
Lord Talent. That's Lord Talent. That's the
Tensai,
sort of that's the sort of name that like a posh crisp firm would have with a fucking fox with a monocle and a top hat. Lord Talent, nummy nummy scrum scrum crisps for cunts.
I think that's the case. Anyway, yeah, something. Yeah, Tensai. Lovely old job. Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's there good. I've got new respect for that gimmick. I was always like, this is bullshit. But now I look at it and I actually think, oh. Credit to him, Lord Talent.
I'd be called Muzukashi, which means difficult. Lord Difficult.
I'd be called Nanny Mass.
Nanny Mass. Well, we open this show. So yeah, patreon.com/wrestleme. If you want more of this shit, we open this with a VT. We're back to WrestleMania 29. We're on match two, Mark Henry versus Ryback. But before we get there, we get a VT that does not even touch this. It went into my eyes and my ears and it just went straight out again. I had no interest in this at all. It's basically VT about John Cena being sad because last year he lost the main event and The Rock was involved, and the year before that he lost the main event and The Rock was involved, so he's going to put this all right by getting in a main event where The Rock is involved.
Yep.
It's just, and then he points at the WrestleMania sign. It's nothing.
This is the start of this big John Cena has got one last match in him thing, which runs now for the rest of his career, where they're all like, you know, he's always like, he's a battle-scarred soldier.
Yeah.
And he's just been beaten down so much. He's won everything. Constantly.
He's constantly solemnly looking at a fucking belt.
Yeah,
constantly.
Exactly. I think he's won the Royal Rumble to get here. I mean, it's just, you know, they don't mention the fucking that bit, do they? But I mean, I hate this whole, you know, John Cena. Again, it's wrestling. I don't really care about him going, I am having an internal struggle that only I can really understand.
Well, and also, it's if CM Punk does it, you know there's a little bit of truth in it.
Yeah.
When seeing John Cena, a man who's a giant, a muscle man, a good-looking guy, nothing has gone badly for him.
Nope.
He's white. Yeah. Nothing in his life
Absolutely.
Will ever go bad for him because he's beautiful and muscular and rich and white.
Yeah.
So nothing has ever gone bad for him.
Yeah. I would say...
If Mark Henry,
actually,
a big, fat, black guy,
yeah,
like says, I'm having a tough time, things are conspiring against me, I can see that societally, that might be the fucking case.
I
but we're seeing
that well,
nowhere.
I mean, what you actually hit there with the CM Punk thing is absolutely true. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get a bit of the rub that the CM Punk thing did. They're trying to make John Cena into the new CM Punk.
Yeah.
Forgetting, of course, that the whole thing was against John Cena when they did it. And so what they're doing now is going, well, you are to The Rock what... you were to CM Punk. So why don't we have you going boo-hoo-hoo? It's all going badly for me. John, we'll hate you anyway. When you know, that's good. Are you in pain? Good. I hope The Rock breaks your shoulder blade. Very
just
strange.
Just the shoulder blade. Oh, really hard to heal. Really difficult to heal.
There's nothing we can do. The thing about the shoulder blade is it's not a bone. It's almost like a piece of cuttlefish back. All right, so that you can't... No. Can't be glued.
Get it out, we've eaten it. We removed it and ate it. Sorry,
you'll notice my budgie is very fat. Mark Henry versus Ryback. Yeah, now yeah. I really, really enjoyed this match. I thought it was really, really good for what I imagined it was going to be. They have that classic thing of people in wrestling, they love to see two big. In the words of like Jim Ross, two hosses, two great big boys. They like to see them get together and they like to see them whack each other for 5 minutes and one of them win.
Yeah.
And that is what you get. The problem, like a lot of these things where you get people who are very tall, they always go, do you not be great, match them up with someone else tall. And then you've just got two people of the same
size. It's ridiculous. We were talking about Dean Ambrose not wrestling The Undertaker last
week.
There's no... That'll be excellent. If Dean Ambrose can get a fucking match out of a giant man who's got busted up knees.
Yeah, entirely. Now, you've got with these two, what you've got is two very big, powerful men.
Mm.
And they look very similar.
Yes.
So when you're a million miles away, it's just like two children. It doesn't mean anything. Ryback is one of those very, very laughed at people.
Mm.
And I've always found it sort of difficult to work out why.
Right.
And what it turns out is slightly because when he left, he was a bit of a visionary. And like all visionaries, like Jesus Christ, Ryback very much like Jesus Christ, he was mocked and he was abused. And I think actually time has proved him right. But we'll get to that. So he's a guy called Ryan Allen Reeves.
Mm.
And when he was growing up, he always said that his friends called him, he said that he was like a silverback because he was such a big lad and he obviously did a lot of weights and things like that. I don't know if blokes give other blokes really positive nicknames.
Yeah. Well, they do if they're massive, I guess.
Like a silverback. So he took his name Ryan.
You see that, Dr. Pussenstein?
I mean, they're more. It would. I mean, the truth is, they would have said, "Do you know what you look like? You look like a muscly bollock." And he would have then been called Ryball or something like that. But he takes Silverback and Ryan, and he puts it together to be Ryback. He wrestles. He enters Tough Enough, and he does pretty well in it.
Mm.
I think he falls out because he has bronchitis or something. There's some weird reason, but the WWE have seen enough of him to say, we're going to give you a developmental contract. He gets a
bronchitis. bronchitis.
He gets the developmental contract. He goes to some of the. He actually goes through a lot of their different developmental territories over the years. So he starts in Deep South Wrestling. He goes on to Ohio Valley Wrestling, and
this
he finds
is wrestling
himself
in front of people.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So this is very much the feeder system.
Mm.
WWE at this point begin realizing when that stale period's around that because of the death of the territories, people aren't really finding their way into wrestling.
Mm.
So what they do is instead of taking them and having to train them and put them out there and they've had 8 months of experience and they look like shit and then they don't get over and then they get sacked, they decide, well, let's start a feeder system. The idea is the developmental places, they will have WWE inject money, they sign people, they pay people, and they get to wrestle in front of small regional crowds to build up their skills. They've been doing this really since OVW, which was years like, you know, Brock Lesnar and Batista and Randy Orton and Shelton Benjamin.
Right.
They all came through that system. So it's worked and it's a very successful one. By this point, point, they're beginning to begin to centralise it. So some of the other territories are dropped, and eventually what you end up with is NXT, which is the developmental brand. We've talked about how confusing it is. We go from Tough Enough, which was the reality show where they tried to find new stars, and, you know, they did. That then became renamed NXT. And it was a sort of talent hunt that played out on TV. Mm. But then NXT became the developmental system, and it became down in Florida. They built their own performance center, which would become very important this year when the coronavirus shut everything down and they needed somewhere to be able to perform. They built a state-of-the-art performance center. But in the early days, they had FCW, which became NXT. And FCW was Florida Championship Wrestling. And Roman Reigns, he came out of Florida Championship Wrestling. He was a guy who was trained by his father was Seeker from the Wild Samoans. And the Wild Samoans had a wrestling school. So his brother had been a WWE star, Roman Reigns. He was a guy called Rosie, who was originally part of a tag team called 3 Minute Warning with Umaga. Roman Reigns, as the son of Seeker, is part of that giant Samoan family. Yeah. And he was taken to FCW. Now, he'd had no prior experience. He'd been trained, and they made him into a star there under the name Leaky, which Leaky. Was, I know, it's wow. terrible, absolutely See, terrible well. Decision. But FCW becomes the thing where, you know, people are coming through and they are beginning to make stars. And Ryback is one of those people. He comes into the new NXT series that they do in WWE. He ends up being part of the Nexus, who attack John Cena.
Yes.
And at that point, they've given him a cowboy gimmick and called him Skip Sheffield.
Right. Why are they?
They just did not know what they were fucking
Skip
doing.
Sheffield.
I mean, this is the same time a year later they'd be taking Mr. Perfect's son and they would be giving him the name Michael McGillicuddy. You know, it didn't make any sense. Bray Wyatt, you know, who would become so popular, he was there as Husky Harris, Husky being the American word for overweight. Mm. You know, just bad decisions. He skipped Sheffield, the fucking cowboy. That's exactly what people are looking for in 2012, you know. but he breaks his ankle in a match, so he Ooh. Sort of drifts out. It takes a long time to heal. And when he returns, he comes back as Ryback. Now, Ryback is a sort of character that I think he felt was very, very close to his own heart. It was a cross between, it's been described really sort of memorably, I think, as a cross between Goldberg meets the Ultimate Warrior meets Rob Van Dam's tights. And what he did was he'd come out and they did something they'd not done for a long time, which was on TV, they'd feed him enhancement talent and he'd beat them. He'd sometimes beat them, you know, two men at once. Mm. And people were just like, oh, it's another muscle guy.
Yeah.
But slowly he started getting over. And part of it was he seemed to really sort of take it seriously what he was doing, even though it was sort of stupid. He was powerful. That was good. Mm. That always gets you over.
Yeah.
But he also seemed to not, people would sort of boo him, you know, like, oh, he's crap. And he was just like, just make him do more. He'd just keep on. He never broke character. And I think there was a sort of slow, actually, this is quite fun. People began chanting Goldberg at him.
He looks very similar and similar sort of style.
Internally, they called this sort of portmanteau Ryberg.
Right.
What they were hoping, I think, is that Goldberg would see it and it would seem like a natural money program for Goldberg to come and do. They'd approached Goldberg a number of times and Goldberg had always said he had no more interest in professional wrestling. And I think there was this sense of, if we create a Goldberg sort of knockoff and it becomes popular, then this would be a natural fit for a WrestleMania. He will not be able to turn this down.
Yeah.
Instead, what happened is they tried to ramp it up slightly by having Ryback do a Goldberg move, sort of nick it. And
right.
I think they sort of, you know, that made people chant Goldberg all the more.
Right.
Goldberg simply responded, comparisons offend me.
Yeah, I think he sort of spoke quite eloquently about it, sort of saying I was into the guy until I saw the Goldberg, and I don't think he's a very good wrestler.
No, well, I mean, his in-ring work has actually been criticised quite badly.
He's hurt a lot of people.
Well, he has. I mean, like a lot of big guys, he's one of those people, I think, who is, I need to look like I'm a dominant monster. Mm. And part of that is
stiff.
Yeah, they've talked about him being green, unsafe, and lacking in stamina. And the lacking in stamina is a key thing. As you saw, funnily enough, from that Saudi Arabia match with Goldberg and The Undertaker, because they blew up so quickly, every move they did after a certain point was just almost lethal because they didn't have the strength to keep it going. There was one of the matches that really sealed his fate was a match against Lord Tensai,
right.
Albert, big guy. And he tried to do his finishing move called the Shell Shocked, which was he'd put you on your back, he'd march around, and then he'd sort of, you know, fall down. Mm. I believe it's a one-legged muscle buster, you could describe it as. And he just could not do it. He tried it again and again and again, and he kept on dropping him really awkwardly. I mean, it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's really horrible. That gave him the reputation. He would then, they gave him an unbroken streak, like Goldberg, of about, I think, 32 matches. And he was suddenly a big star. Mm. And people were really excited by this monster who couldn't be stopped. Until they put him against CM Punk and he lost. That was it. And they should have been building him over the year, really. And he should have been undefeated. By the time we see him at this WrestleMania, we are, what, 4 or 5 months after Survivor Series where he's lost. He's not managed to get the belt from CM Punk. And all of the impetus that was behind him has been lost. Yeah. All the steam has gone out of it. CM Punk said that he hated wrestling Ryback. He said he reckoned wrestling Ryback on those occasions cost him 20 years off his career. There have been other people. Punk actually referred to him as a steroid guy. Ryback has admitted that when he was in WWE in his early years, he certainly was doing it. He also gave Dolph Ziggler a concussion off a stiff clothesline. The only person who actually said they really enjoyed wrestling him was Chris Jericho. Yes. Chris Jericho said, no, I had a lot of fun with him. He said, I've never seen him do anything like that. What was really interesting is this WrestleMania, Chris Jericho had taken one of his many sabbaticals and he basically returned for a short program from January onwards to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I think maybe even through to SummerSlam. But the reason he came back was he was going to be facing Ryback at WrestleMania. And part of the thing he was going to be doing with that was he was going to be putting Ryback over to make him a big star. The problem is, of course, he believed that by the time he got to Ryback, Ryback would still be undefeated. So having signed his contract, he began watching as Ryback was losing all the time.
Right.
So Jericho was like, well, okay, let's build him up again over the 4 months. And by the time he faces me, and he gets that victory, he'll be a bigger star, and we can forget all about that.
Right.
That didn't happen. We'll talk about that when we get to Jericho's match with Fandango, a thing which led him to want to quit the WWE immediately. He had this winning streak. It ended. He gets the Intercontinental Champion, but he did leave the company in 2016 very acrimoniously. Because he's got a couple more WrestleManias to go, I might save the story of his... I mean, he set up a podcast, a nutritional company, and he did his own adverts, and everybody mocked him for it. So in 2016, I'm going to talk about it now, fuck it. In 2016, he had a podcast, and that was at a time when launching your own podcast was seen as essentially being an admission of madness.
Yes.
That you were the vainest, stupidest person on earth. His was called Conversations with the Big Guy.
Right.
And he said, creating that was a way for me to stay in the public eye, have my voice be heard, and we're doing great.
Mm.
Three things that podcasts do not do. They do not keep you in the public eye. No one is listening to your voice, and no podcast does great.
Patreon.com/WrestleMania. Seriously, I'm serious.
But what he'd done that everyone sort of went, oh, you're mentally ill, was when he left WWE, he changed his name legally to Ryback because he didn't want WWE to have a trademark on it and stop him using it.
A contract, as a couple of business partners I've had in the past say, is very much the where you start with a legal proceeding.
Yeah.
Like, they're not frequently not worth the fucking shit they're written on, right?
No.
So you look at a man deciding to change his name by Deadpool to Ryback. I think that's not actionable. I think you're not allowed to do that. If they had a real problem with it, I think if they wanted to use that name again for whatever reason or use him again, they would have a problem with that, I think.
I suppose his big thing is that he came up with it and it was high school nickname.
Yeah, that's fair.
So all he's doing slightly is he's changing his name to something which legally he would probably be awarded anyway. But it's probably a cheaper way of doing it. He has talked in the past about things like he had websites and stuff that he would run, and the WWE demanded all the domain sort of titles back.
Yeah.
And it was of subsidiary stuff, so they called him, the Big Guy, and that became a trademark term. So his website, Big Guy, they said, no, you've got to hand that over.
Yeah.
And I think, there are ways of doing it, aren't they? He's an interesting guy because he was never huge, but he obviously had a real sense of what he was and what he believed his worth was.
Yes.
One of the things he's done since leaving is he's never, ever wrestled for another big federation. But apparently he's still on the independents working. And he has never lost a match since, I think, 2016 when he left the WWE.
Right.
On the independents, he only wins. He has got a sense of what he is and what his value is. Now. Yeah.
I don't think you can take that away from him, surely. I mean, I
sort of admire him. I know some of his stuff. Quite often, when there's big stories, someone will go to Ryback because Ryback will give something very quotable. Right. And it's not because it's witty. It's because he just sounds a bit demented, you know. And I think that is a problem for him. But everything else about him, I sort of go, I sort of like. I like your moxie. I like your sort of, I like your sense of going. I mean, he is very much a, if you like, a 4 out of 10. Who sincerely believes he's a 10 out of 10. And in an odd way, I find that really endearing.
Yeah.
And that makes him probably, for me, a 5 or 6. So it's sort of working. When he left, he set up his nutrition and fitness apparel. I can't say that. Fitness clothing line. Apparel?
Yeah, apparel. Yeah,
fitness apparel line. As well as he wrote a motivational book called Wake Up, It's Feeding Time.
What?
I know. One of the lines he used to say in the ring was, feed me more. Feed me more. Okay. As in more men.
Right.
I know. Feed me more men. That was the name of his book.
Why is this? But why does he want other people to be fed?
He's got that thing of being a bodybuilder where he's really showing off about that thing of, like, bodybuilders are like, how much can you lift? But it's also that thing of going, ate a lot this morning, you know. Oh, I can eat a load. How many eggs can you eat? You know, and that feed me more thing, I think, is from the gym and the body and the bodybuilding world. He had his book, which is Wake Up, It's Feeding Time, spin off of Feed Me More. Again, if you weren't a wrestling fan, to get to that, it would take a long time. But he then had his nutrition line through his own website.
Right.
I was reading about him talking about this. It did make me laugh. Again, remember, he's a 4 out of 10. He thinks he's a 10.
Yeah.
Now that I've left WWE, I have the time, and I've always had these ideas in my head for Feed Me More Nutrition. I had all these notes I've written over the years, so I got in contact with a very reputable production company. They asked me if I was some kind of chemist, because the formulas are so good. Initially, the line consisted of just three products, all sweetened with stevia, or stevia, isn't it? Which is the one that, it's quite sort of common now.
Yes.
It basically replaced saccharin and aspartame.
Yeah. Xylitol.
Yeah. Do you know who actually worked out the stevia is much safer than the other one, saccharin and aspartame? Well, it was Ryback.
Oh, right. Okay.
He said on his website, there's a little Q&A thing. How much does aspartame and sucralose harm you? That's a great question. He responds to his own question. These artificial sweeteners are used in virtually all diet products. The shocking truth is supplement companies use cheap man-made sweeteners in their powdered formulas. Because your health and well-being isn't even an afterthought. I'm not done yet. Here's the clincher. I cut them out 8 years ago. Why? Because I suffered from blackouts when I was standing still. Scary times. Don't forget this. Every single morning, I woke up feeling groggy and fatigued with blurry vision. Didn't matter how many hours of sleep I had. Let me tell you more. After doing some research, I realised aspartame and sucralose were why I had these symptoms. So he came out with three different nutritional drinks with stevia, right, or stevia. According to the superstar, the products he developed helped restore also his own natural testosterone levels for the first time in a decade. I suffered from low testosterone for 5 years before I was on TV with WWE, admitted Ryback.
That's very much a, and that's why I took all that testosterone. Yeah.
My body never recovered from that. I mean, it does, but if you keep taking it, it's a real problem. It happens to a lot of guys, he said. Thanks to the WWE wellness policy, and I will commend it all day long, he said. He went on doctor-supervised testosterone replacement therapy. He said, it kept my testosterone levels at normal, so I could feel good and function normally as a man. It's sort of every,
it's a bit Viagra-y,
everything
isn't it?
He says when he's sort of building himself up, there's a slight thing of like those lines where he's just like, I was blacking out standing still, where you go, you fucking what? And then he's like, and I was able to perform normally as a man. And you're like, oh, what? Everything's just a bit off. And so again,
I own tools.
he's a 4 who thinks he's a 10. He's just,
I like
saying magic. I know.
I've come round with him a bit.
It is like, really sweet.
In that quote where he's sort of saying, your health is not even an afterthought or something.
Yes.
It's like your health, it might be on the other page.
Your health and well-being isn't even an afterthought.
Isn't even an afterthought. That's a bad sentence. Yes. You're saying that it's not even an afterthought. I'm not thinking about it at all.
No.
Is he talking about him?
He's
his own
talking
stuff?
About other manufacturers.
Right. Yeah. I thought he was talking about his own stuff.
I might have
slightly ruined
the inflection in that because I'd actually taken a big thing, but I realised he listed a load of the different manufacturers.
Oh, okay.
That is a battle I do not want to have because I don't want to have to call up Ryback and have him in court trying to help me out. Oh.
Yeah, he's the unreliable narrator. Jesus. Slash defence.
Are you all right? Have you just blacked up? Blacked out. Jesus
Very
Christ.
Unwelcome.
I thought you were going to black out. That'd be a hilarious joke. Right about you making this terrible.
You're an idiot, mate.
Oh, man.
You're a nightmare.
Again, in this little interview where he's talking about his supplement, it will sort of say, hoping to eventually settle down and have kids, he began using his own formula in an effort to regain his body's natural testosterone balance.
It just sounds like him talking about being able to maintain an erection. It's very much that, isn't it?
There's
a lot of that
in
there.
And it seems sad. It's that sort of, you know, I've made myself a potion and hopefully one day I'll find a lady who loves me. You know, just, Ryback.
Ryback.
Oh, he's sweet.
Still alive?
Looking at his body, still alive. Yeah, he is. His website's really worth going on to because there's lots of photographs of him in a suit.
Nice.
And he's very much, I am the shill man for my own company.
Yes.
And I just like the fact that he's done it and he sort of got mocked for it.
Yeah.
But there is a slight thing as well, I think, where anyone who goes on to do something, which is them taking control and them going, I think I can do this, and it lasting, everyone around is sick and riddled with jealousy, and you hope it will fail. And so there is that sense of, oh, you're a fucking joke, mate. And he's still here, isn't he? You know, and he's still doing it. And look, he's in a suit and he looks happy for the camera.
He's got a big old stiff in the stiffy in there.
Yep, huge.
A big old stiffy, and he's keeping up the repayments on his server.
Exactly.
So don't worry about it.
And your health and nutrition are not an afterthought to him. Who can we say that
front
about?
Front and centre for him.
Who can we say that about?
It's heavy.
Look, I really like this match. I mean, Mark Henry is entering that period in his career where he's nailing what he's doing, what he should be doing after 20 years of never quite nailing it. And suddenly, right at the end of his career, bang, he finds it.
Yeah.
They have a funny end here, so I quite liked it. Oddly, where he tries to get Mark Henry up for his shell-shocked move, and he manages it. And Henry...
Mark Henry does not look confident.
No.
He grabs out for the rope.
Hasn't been thrown around very much,
no.
You know.
So, I mean, yeah, I assume it doesn't happen very often. A man picks up Mark Henry and puts him over his shoulder.
And Henry has to sort of grab the rope. But the one thing is, Henry's never been in that position before.
No.
He's never been on someone's shoulder, 6 foot off the ground.
Yeah.
And so instead of making it obvious that he's grabbing the rope and that Ryback can't do it, they just sort of, you know, it looks like he's steadying himself. And then Ryback just collapses. And because obviously Mark Henry is really heavy, Ryback can't do a convincing, oh, my leg's gone out and I'm doing this. He's just like, I'm going to fall on the thing. And he falls down. And he slightly sort of like pancakes himself. And again, that looks a bit slapstick. And then Mark Henry just pins him. It's like, what happened there? I like matches ending with the idea that you made a mistake and it cost you.
Yeah.
You went for you went for the brass ring and you came up short, and when you landed you broke both your legs. I like that as a thing. You don't see it very much in WrestleMania. But they just sort of didn't quite deliver it enough, and you did sort of watch it and just go, did that just go massively wrong?
But it's more that Mark Henry, you wouldn't try that for the first time at WrestleMania.
No.
They've clearly had a few goes at it. And Mark Henry knows what's happened the other times, so that's why he's got his hand on the fucking rope.
Well, exactly. I think there's a slight thing as well if they would have tried it maybe once. I can't
Let's
imagine
not pull
Mark
out his
Henry,
knees now.
Yeah, I can't imagine Mark Henry is sitting there just going, yeah, lift me up all day long if you like.
Yeah.
I think he's going, mate, do you know what? You get one.
You get one. If you get it right, we go on through.
Yeah.
We go through.
Well, that will do. You know, I think there's a sense of that. They then get Ryback to get back up. And he then does the move on Mark Henry, doesn't he?
Yes.
I sort of thought, I mean, the problem with that is you've just sort of gone, oh, I couldn't do it and I collapsed and got pinned and I knocked myself out, sort of. And then it's like 30 seconds, you know, 20 seconds later, he's just like, I can do it now. And there is a slight point of what would have been better, I think, is you don't do a thing that looks like it's gone wrong. What he should have done is he should have done that with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
He should have hit him with the move and then Mark Henry should have just... basically, you know, done a crucifix pin on him or something and just luckily pinned him.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been a veteran move. Mm. But instead, it was a bit weird. It's like, I lift you up, I fall on my face, I get up, I do the move, I lost!
But that's the thing, it's like going, you can't do this.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're just trying it again. You just look like you've forgotten that you did it. Did it and it didn't work.
Pete, it's a 4, who thinks he's a 10. It's just magic.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2. The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
Let's have match three. Team match Hell three. No, Daniel Bryan and Kane against Biggie Langston and Dolph Ziggler.
Let me stop you there, Mark. I think you're missing out was it at this point we have the JBL WWE Mattel Power Slammers?
I didn't even notice that.
What?
What's going on?
There's a bit, and I think it's there. Yes, I believe it is. JBL and the commentary team. Who've you got there? They've got these little power slammers.
I missed this entirely.
These little figures that you wind up, and they some of them rotate around their axis, and they just have a fight and stuff. And JBL just spends his time. I think he keeps hitting Rey Mysterio. The thing going, I've always wanted to do this, and he's just hitting Rey Mysterio. They don't work. The toys don't work. They are terrible. They look like no one's buying this plastic crap, but it was a lovely attempt at bringing back some of that old kind of commercialised side of WrestleMania.
That nice WWF magazine. Yeah. Where we've got our own adverts. Yeah. Hey, look, we've got 4 hours of TV. We can flog a lot of this shit plugging up the warehouse.
They're two figurines, and you attach their hands or hand to a hand or a hand to a leg, I believe, and then you just wind them up and let them just kind of like
it doesn't
spasm. It's a spasming.
Is that basically what happens in Ryback Mark Henry?
I think so. That's pretty much the
I missed that entirely.
Yeah, no, yeah. These things happen because we are getting to a point where the matches are getting right. Because when I was watching the WCW stuff from 1990 for the Patreon, I was way more invested in fucking micro, exploring
entirely.
Everything because there are funny things happening all the time. But with WWE, everything's so well choreographed. It's just like, right, okay, in the 2000s.
The thing for me is I miss quite a bit of things in it because I would have, in that point where JBL is talking about that, I am on Ryback's website taking out quotes that I find amusing.
And buying
I'm filleting it for amusement. that's very much what happens. The thing about these WrestleManias for me is you can tell that when we talk about the matches, we have about a 30-second chat about the matches. They are just very competent a lot of the time.
Yeah, unless it's Ryback and Mark Henry.
Unless it's Ryback and Mark Henry's finishing section. This match, for example, Team Hell No, which is Daniel Bryan and Kane. Simple thing they do here is they take Daniel Bryan, who is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And what they do is they put him with a big established star. And that tells everybody, look, we are sort of going, is he ready? And we haven't put him with a schlub. We haven't put him with someone of his same stature. We've put him with one of our big stars. And so let's see if he can keep going. And oddly, when they came out, fuck me, the response that Daniel Bryan gets.
Yeah.
You know, it's just thrilling. They do a really nice bit in this WrestleMania as well, where Dolph Ziggler, I think he gets hit by Bryan really quickly, and we think we're going to get another one of these Daniel Bryan matches at WrestleMania that is under 20 seconds, where they start doing the count, and it's like, oh my God, has he won? Are we going to see Daniel Bryan has had, you know, like two WrestleManias in a row and a combined match length of 20 seconds? Yeah. Not the worst gimmick in the world, I must say, but this was the first match that I saw. Well, when Bryan came out, I was like, that is a proper response. And the yes movement is taking off slightly here, or certainly not the movement yet, but everyone is going, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Playing on the thing we talked about. I think we've probably, this is an excellent advert, because we talk about the rise of Daniel Bryan in the Patreon where we covered Money in the Bank 2011.
Yeah.
So there is a certain amount of, if I just listen without paying, then the whole encyclopedia and collection is actually incomplete. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I'm not going to go over the rise of Daniel Bryan, which, let me tell you, is one of the finest pieces we've done.
Patreon.com/WrestleMe.
If you're already a Patreon member, please don't tweet to say to people who aren't Patreon members that it's not the best thing we've done. Let us have our thing.
We won't be able to do this podcast.
Yes. Now, this was the first match that actually, during it, my heart rate, I actually felt going up. I was probably like, this is exactly what I want to see. It was fast. It was good. You've got Daniel Bryan, who is just becoming this amazing meteor.
Amish man.
Yeah.
Well, Amish
there's a slight sort of thing there as well where I look at where he's sort of, I don't know how they come up with this, but that thing about the beard is slightly going, I will be the furthest thing
away from what you think,
like being, you know, you look at your Roman Reigns and it's all, you know, I bet he smells delicious, like really nice sort of mahogany and leather and like that. And Daniel Bryan is just like, I am going to wear a pair of pants and I'm going to have a big ratty beard. And do you know what? You can't stop me.
He looks like a bloke who'd be silhouetted in the darkness on Mumford & Sons touring band.
Doesn't he?
Playing guitar, doesn't or banjo he? Or something.
He'd be, it's the seventh Mumford, you know.
I think the second, is it Babel? The second Mumford & Sons album?
Got you.
I saw it for a radio station, Absolute Radio, and they played a lot of fucking Mumford & Sons. It was the second album. So beards were starting to arrive.
Yeah.
Waistcoats were starting to arrive.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. And it's not a tidy beard, is it?
No, not at all.
And he's got this really unfortunate kind of like blonde around the mouth. And so the actual behind, underneath the chin, the hair is darker, so it looks a bit Amish. You don't notice the hair on the moustache and the mouth so much, so it does look a bit Amish, and I'm in for it.
Just great. I mean, he came from, I think, you know, he grew up in sort of the Washington state.
Right.
So he's sort of that Seattle element. Okay. I mean, he doesn't seem to me like, you know, he is a vegan, but he's a sports entertainer. Whenever you see sort of backstage stuff when he was early in his career, there's a Wrestling Road Diary thing where you can basically, you spend the night sort of, you know, traveling with him from place to place, and you see him staying over at a fan's house, and then it's on to the next thing. One of these sort of shoot indie videos. It's how they used to work, because, I mean, they didn't get paid very much.
Right, okay.
You know, it's payment in wrestling is one of those great mysteries.
Yeah. You're sleeping in your van. You're sleeping in your car.
Exactly. You know, it's I say it's a great mystery. I did find out some about a very large UK federation recently. There were some figures released, and they did mention that some of the wrestlers on their shows were paid £50, which just in this day and age.
Well, compared to the people who are taking the dividends out at the top, and you know, you build something, you take the money out of it,
there is nothing wrong with people working hard and getting a wage. All people should be getting a wage.
I just enjoy the fact that I think the craft ale and wrestling, indie wrestling scene.
Yeah.
Has a lot of similarities
the circles are converging. And at the top of it, Pete, is Daniel Bryan and his fucking beard. he brought them all in.
Exactly.
A bit of straight edge in CM Punk, and then a bit of sort of like veganism in Daniel Bryan. And
artisanal wrestler.
Oh, absolutely.
He's the artisanal wrestler.
Absolutely.
But I look at like when people get upset with slightly punk rock indie craft ale providers.
Yeah.
That sell out to like a bigger, you know, your Brewdog and stuff like that, you know, and they're seen as being sellouts. I think people kind of forget why people get into the thing that they get into.
Absolutely.
You got to get paid. If I go to a wrestling show, if I go to a British indie wrestling show, if they're making money, fine. If there is a massive disparity about how much money is getting taken out of the business and you've got to public accounts for whatever reason, I think that's problematic. But let's not forget that we all live in obscene capitalist societies.
Yep.
And it's entertainment. People aren't doing it for nothing.
Nope.
And if you're getting taken advantage of, then everyone's got internet, everyone's got power, everyone's got a voice. Use that voice, unionise, and fucking stick it to the
all
big man.
All right, David Starr. Jeez. No, I mean, I totally agree with you. The only thing I disagree with is I think, you know, what would be quite nice is when this is all over, at some point for us to put on one show.
Mm.
And let me tell you, you will be dreaming of the days of being paid 50 quid to wrestle at a show when we do it. Really abusive.
But can we not just do a rev share? Did we just put on a WrestleMe show and we do a rev share?
Exactly. But I mean, I always think that should be done because, I mean, the reality is, even if you set something up, you can argue all you like, but I would say it's just as easy to do 3 weeks of sorting out a venue, talking to the ticket people, turning up early to make sure everyone's there, ringing around and booking. I'd say that's equally as easy as doing half an hour in the ring in front of a crowd and it having to be good.
Yeah.
You know, there are economies of scale. I don't want this to be a podcast that's very much on the side of the wrestlers, the people who make the art that we talk about and absolutely adore. I mean, but I think promoters, they do have a certain thing of, you know... No one thinks they're going to get rich doing it. If you get rich doing it, it's because, you know, you've done something that's really unique and really, you know, well done and everything. But I do sort of think, you know, God, pay people properly.
Oh, but that's what I mean. The difference between paying someone 50 quid and 200 quid is negligible.
Absolutely.
How expensive ticket sales are nowadays.
Yeah.
Don't pay somebody 50 quid.
This is just a slow way of us making it clear that we are going to be moving this show to Times Radio. Unfortunately, we are going to be taking on a third person. That is the former Home Secretary, Amber Rudd. She will be coming in. And we're not going to be talking about wrestling anymore. We're going to be talking about Indian people. What a fucking horror show.
They won't even be an afterthought.
No. But do you know, we talked about on a previous show for a very long time about how, you know, we listen to these and times have changed. By the time they come out, things have gone on. I reckon my reference to Times Radio will seem absolutely bizarre now.
I'll be shuttered now.
Where people are going, oh, wasn't that the thing that was open for 2 days?
Yes. But you said, I mean, it was, you know, riots all around the world. Everyone's talking about diversity.
Yep.
and talking about making a real concerted effort to put black voices at the forefront, and they drop.
Yeah,
a lot of women in there, but they are all frequently problematic.
Yeah, right wingers.
I mean, it's the Times, but Times Radio, they just put all these white faces in there.
It's a funny thing about everyone has this thing about, you know,
incredible thought that they thought, yeah, this is the time to announce.
It's like
shareholders have to be satisfied.
It's like you're sort of like, you know, there's a funny thing that's happened recently, which is people will say, well, we do need to have a difference of opinions and stuff like that, and you can't really sort of go, well, everyone, you know, the problem is, you know, we're really looking for a right wing voice, and BBC, we need to have some people certainly who are right of centre and things like that. And I look at something like Times Radio and I think, why aren't they saying, where are all the fucking lefties? Where are they? Because I'll tell you what happens is the right have done something very clever, which is whatever they do, they accuse the left of doing, and the left just sit there and just go, I'm not going to argue about it. I mean, there's just no point. do you know what there is a point? I absolutely 100% believe this. Fire. Fire, sort.
Fire
is the left winger's best friend. That's all I'm saying. Take that how you like.
Poll tax riots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scaffolding poles left in Trafalgar Square.
Detritus of capitalism. Yeah, you show me a left wing builder. You show me one left wing builder, and I will put this scaffolding pole down. not all builders.
Not all.
I should say, look, we have a diversity problem on this show.
Yes.
In that we are two white men.
Yes.
But I would say, I mean, it is just the two of us. And if anyone else would like to come and do this, who is not a white man, I'd be overjoyed to let you do it for a while.
We haven't got any WrestleManias left.
I mean, at the moment, I mean, it's the heat of summer. The studio is really hot.
It really
if you can handle,
it really
if you
is.
Can take the heat,
can you
like
take
the WWE
ready?
Recipe, but yeah. If you can take the heat, look, I will happily step out.
100%.
I'm just melting.
And
in
I
here.
Tell you what, we are giving a crisp £50 note.
That's me. I would like to sort of explain myself. I say, look, I'm not saying that really fucking shite-hawk, shitty wrestling company should pay anybody a small amount of money and take loads of money out of the company. I'm just making the point that I'm surprised that people who have right throughout their lives worked within a capitalist system are surprised that the plucky fucking punk rock who are still working within the framework of fucking capitalism are fucking shortchanging their wrestlers, because this is how capitalism fucking works.
Yeah.
This is people expect to pay fuck all for a massive amount of work. It's not right, but I'm always surprised at people imagining the sell, like having a problem with people selling out, because that is the fucking core tenets of work, of having a company, it seems.
Yeah.
You can't be fucking nice, but you can be fair.
I'd say there is an argument that people will say, oh yeah, so it's very easy to say, isn't it? You know, because you've got your Patreon. Yeah. But if people want to hear your work, they have to fucking pay. I heard your bit about fucking Daniel Bryan. Oh yeah. Oh, you want to hear the Daniel Bryan bit? Yeah, you got to pay for it. Yeah. I mean, my big thing about the Patreon is we did this for 2 years every week and it was there and everything. And it allows us to continue to do it.
You might not have heard that many adverts on this, and I can't remember the last time I voiced an advert for WrestleMe.
No.
And that's why we're doing the fucking Patreon, right? Because
this is the sort of thing we don't talk about on the Patreon. And so if you are listening to it and you hate this, get on the Patreon. We're sitting over there having a right laugh about the skyscrapers. great to have Daniel Bryan back.
It is.
This is exactly the sort of thing where if Daniel Bryan was listening, I think he'd say, I actually sort of really liked that intro. I thought they were going to talk about whether I was a good wrestler, but instead there was a big thing about capitalism, and that
he
was good.
He is a good wrestler.
He is really
about
good.
2 seconds and Jerry Lawler calls AJ Lee a slut. I think that's a line in the like a Jerry bingo that I've got set up every WrestleMania. I think it's kind of, we're not even an hour in and he's already kind of, I think I've finished a line.
She is absolutely sort of unique in that thing where she was a very, very lovely. She's that sort of, I think, the wrestling fan's ideal girlfriend.
Right.
And they would always sort of go, isn't she weird? Isn't she kooky? And I sort of go, no, she just, she seems like the best looking girl who's ever been into comics. You know, it doesn't seem like a terrible thing. But they always had it slightly like she was weird in some way.
Right, okay.
I do not understand the people at WWE whatsoever. Yeah. She, of course, would marry CM Punk.
Cool.
And, they are still together, and she's got a good Twitter feed, a lot of stuff about sort of mental health. She's very open about her own. And she had a very good little memoir came out, which is really underrated, called Crazy Is My Superpower. And it's worth a read.
Oh, lovely.
She seems like a very nice person.
Jerry Lawler then does a joke about the Civil War. Sounded racist. Sounded racist, but it was so badly delivered, I'm going to give him a pass. I didn't really understand what it meant.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He says something like, North and the South... In the Civil War, her ancestors, anything like that, it just gets my back up, especially when it's Jerry.
What's the episode, what's the match where he mentions the fucking banana boat? Jesus Christ,
okay,
I'll get you that. That's a terrible bit. The match itself, fucking exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that opening move where you think that Dolph is going to be pinned, and then immediately Daniel Bryan is just like, I have been waiting. So I got bumped my first WrestleMania. The next one I got 8 seconds, didn't get to do anything. And he's like, if they only give me 14 seconds in this one, I am going to make it memorable. And within that first 10 seconds, he's doing a dive out the ring, which is full pelt. It's fucking thrilling. He starts doing the kicks that he does, the kicks on the chest. I'm moving away from the mic as I demonstrate ineptly what it would look like if he was dying and they were trying to revive him. But the crowd go mad. The yes chanting with that. And it's thrilling. I can't get over how exciting I found the whole rise of Daniel Bryan. And weirdly, this gave me like almost a sort of like a physical memory of seeing this. Probably I'd recorded it, you know, on the DVR and watched it the next morning, but of watching this and it just seeing Bryan go over. The one thing that you wanted that was sort of bigger than who will win the match is you wanted Daniel Bryan to be doing better matches and showing what he could do and going up the card. And watching this, it properly made my heart go dig, 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 like that. I didn't feel like emotional about it, but I was just exciting. And that's a funny thing about how
I think his rise came through that sense of excitement. It was really exciting to see. The other thing I really got knocked out by here was Big E.
Right.
About how good he was. And I think this is pretty much his in-ring debut. Mm. He had been another NXT champion. He'd been sort of quite a dominant one. So we all knew he could wrestle. Mm. What no one knew is how charismatic Big E was.
Yeah.
And in this one, he comes out and he's really good. He's really fast and really sort of physical. And he thumps into things and he's really exciting.
I think he's got the best pecs in wrestling.
He's huge.
They're
absolutely
just
huge.
Absolutely bulbous.
They look like two frying pans. Just really sort of like, you know, like you'd hit them going, it's gonna feel like a booby. And you hit them and you just go, ah.
Like one of those Japanese drums.
Yes.
Tight.
He's great here, but he would go on, of course, to have huge stardom with the New Day.
Yeah.
Where he just showed this side of him, which is just, he does a brilliant combination of being really charismatic and also really super physical when he goes. And I seeing him here again, it reminded me how good he is and how pleased I am that he, out of like a lot of the people on here, is such a big star now. He really deserves it. He's also excellent on Twitter. He had a very, very nice bit, which I just sort of cemented my love for him, where he was chirpsing up Becky Lynch's mum, which is really worth it's really worth following. There's some charming bits on there. Mm. It's a quick match, but it's all action throughout. Yeah. It's a really dominant performance by Brian and Kane, and then Brian gets the pin, and the crowd are just rippling with delight. Mm. And that thing about Brian getting the pin is also a nod to saying, look, he's here with Kane, but who is the man who wins the match? It's Brian. Kane and Brian had a really good chemistry together. Kane had been sort of really not, I mean, yeah, he was just Kane. He was always around.
Yeah.
But this was an invigorating sort of run for him. And it really, really helped Brian get over. I think not necessarily as so much with the crowd who he was already over with, but certainly with people inside WWE. You know, I'm sure Kane is there to just say, I'm sure they're going, what does he get up to? What's his kink? What's the thing? If we finally say to him, you can be a star and you can wrestle at a higher level, what's the fucking thing that's going to come out? Because there must be something. They were looking for reasons, I think, not to push him. But Kane clearly came back and went, oh, he's really nice. And they were happy.
I did spend a lot of time stupid amount of time, watching Mayor Jacobs, Kane, delivering the 2019 to 20 budget proposal. Actually, it would have been 2021. A fiscally responsible budget.
Yeah.
It's not the budget he wanted to give you, but it's the budget he's been forced to give you. I really? Did like 97 views. They're all wrestling fans.
I love it. I would really like, and I've seen him do some bits before where whenever he does a sort of like his fundraiser, there'll often be a bit where he'll like come out wearing a Kane mask and take it off and he'll just go, oh, sorry, left that arm from work. And everyone sort of politely sort of goes, oh, another one. Yeah. Another Kane joke. Mayor is very good at that. Kane jokes are up over 3,000 year on year. Really good. He did actually tweet something recently, which was very much on the side of the protesters, a little video showing the police. I may even have been in Tennessee the knee. And that was a surprise to me. I think, you know, he's certainly...
Because most wrestlers are conservative.
But he's a libertarian.
Oh, is he? Right.
Yeah,
okay.
And but he has talked about things, and this obviously fits in with his libertarian views, about, you know, I don't want to lock down, you know, it's all that sort of thing. So there is a sense of thinking he's quite conservative, but actually he's this... he's this hippie fruitcake who's just one of those suit-wearing conservative hippies.
Yeah.
I do think he seems like a really nice guy. Undertaker talks about him in The Last Ride.
Right.
And then he just sort of says he's the one person he trusts sort of more than anyone else. He said, I would trust him to take care of my wallet if I ever needed someone to actually do that. You know, and it's he's like the most reliable man in the world.
Well, I mean, I guess you need that. If you should have a hip replacement operation, you can't put it next to your hip, can you?
Plus, he's an official. So, I mean, if Kane did nick it, it wouldn't just be a criminal matter. He would immediately be losing his job. Undertaker's got it all worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
We move on to Chris Jericho versus Fandango. Again, the original plan for this match, according to Chris Jericho, he wrote about this quite extensively in his book called No is a Four-Letter Word, which was about the later, more recent part of his career when he wrote it, having done the sort of early years and the rise all the way to the WWE. And this was more about his recent career. The original plan was for him to face Ryback. And Ryback was a monster that he was going to then go against Jericho, a returning Jericho, and Ryback would eventually beat, and that would make Ryback a bigger star. Vince McMahon changed his mind on that. No one's quite sure. I think he obviously just lost interest for some reason in Ryback. Jericho had returned at the Royal Rumble. He was going to be working until SummerSlam, and that idea of Ryback was the reason he came back. I think he saw something in Ryback and thought, yeah, he's going to be a huge star. Mm. And this will be a big WrestleMania match. And there was no reason for Jericho really to come back to do WrestleMania other than to be in a good position.
Yeah.
We've seen with Rock coming back as the big star, the part-timers get over as big as anyone. So if he's only got a limited amount of matches left, which I think at this time he was beginning to think he had. Ironically, you know, he's pretty much, you know, never been busier than he is this year and the year before. But he's beginning, I think, to sort of think, well, you know, I've got my music career. I'm doing all these weird TV shows. We talked about them last time. I think he was beginning to transition out. And so he's only got limited matches. Let's make them count.
Mm.
When he finds out that his match with Ryback is off, he was really, really disappointed.
Because
he was like, well, why have I come back? What have I come back for?
Yeah.
And then he finds out they haven't really got many ideas for him. So at that point, Fandango was a young guy. He was a guy called Johnny Curtis. He'd been in their development system for a surprising amount of years, and they'd never quite found something for him to do.
Right.
He'd won one of the NXT talent sort of seasons. Mm. So he was on the rise. Mm. And they'd given him this gimmick in 2000 and what is it now, 13, where he was Fandango, a dancer. I was thinking, well, obviously, like Dancing with the Stars must have been the reason.
Yeah, because Jericho was on that. Like,
he was
before, wasn't he?
Yeah,
was that something to do with this?
2005, Dancing with the Stars started, and so you have Jericho. I think was he on before? Or was he after?
He was on before. Yeah, I definitely checked.
Yeah, he did it in 2011.
Yeah,
kicked out at the midway point.
So that's why I thought that was part of it, like a kind of like, ha ha, you were a dancer.
No, they brought in Fandango, and they basically had a thing where Fandango didn't wrestle at all on the thing because he would get upset that the ring announcers couldn't pronounce his name properly.
Yes, yeah, okay.
They would say, "Please welcome Fandango," and he would go, "No, it's Fandango." I mean,
right? Okay, yeah.
Imagine thinking this is going to not only get you money, but will be a big WrestleMania match. So they get him all the way through, and Jericho goes, well, if I, you know, I've got to work with this guy. And they're like, yeah, he's going to debut and he's going to be a big star. And we want you to take him on at WrestleMania.
You just know that man is dripping with first gimmick. He's dripping with, like, before he becomes Undertaker.
Entirely. Now, Vince McMahon says, look, I think Fandango's going to be a huge gimmick. I really do. And we need him to have a brilliant start to just propel this. And so a brilliant start would be against you, Chris.
Mm.
So Jericho was absolutely fucking furious. They then mention, oh, yeah, Ryback's going to be in this match with Mark Henry and he's going to lose. And he's like, what?
Well, why am I not fighting?
Why didn't
Ryback,
I find it? If he's not doing something better, why don't I get to do him? Anyway, he began getting convinced that Vince McMahon was playing a practical joke on him. And he wasn't sure whether he was going to be made to look stupid or whether or not he'd get to do Ryback eventually. So it was all really uncomfortable. He felt really, really betrayed. He then said, I'm actually thinking of quitting. And the Undertaker rang him up. I think he wanted some advice. And the Undertaker said, just do your job, he said. Jericho remembered, he said, the Undertaker had said to him, I've done 20-0 at WrestleMania and I had to wrestle some dudes I didn't really want to. And the names there were like Giant Gonzalez and Jimmy Snooker, they said. He said, basically, Undertaker said to me, do your job. And I said, I suppose I will. So Jericho went in after, he was like, well, I'm going to work really hard to try and make this mean something. Mm. So he took the thing of being able to, he'd sort of call him, you know, Fandimbo and stuff.
Right,
fucking
yeah.
I'll be 43. Listing these things coming out of my mouth, it makes me feel so dumb. And, I mean, they have this match, and the match itself, I mean, Fandango comes out. He was taught to dance for the 10 seconds he needs to dance in his entrance, and then no more. I tell you what he was doing, he was chewing gum.
Oh, you don't like that?
I do not like it. When you're a character who is a ballroom dancer, all I'm saying, Fandango, is show me one professional dancer, right, that you've seen on your thing, who's chewing gum. Who's chewing gum when they come out. Show me one. Dancing around. So he does his little thing. The woman he dances with was nothing to do with wrestling.
Right.
She was a professional dancer and college student. And I think the college student is slightly the bit where you...
Adds a veneer,
Yeah, you sort of go, that is another £50. crumbs, isn't it? You know, put this towards some books, cupcake. There they go. And look, I mean, one thing really happened. I mean, the match itself was, you know, doing your debut at WrestleMania, and Fandango was in there with Jericho, and I think there was a lot of pressure. Fandango just seemed anxious, and the match never really clicks. The problem is when you debut someone at WrestleMania, no one knows what to expect. And when the guy wrestles just like everybody else, you're like, why have we waited all this time to see this guy? It wasn't like there was a, it was a returning star that you were excited about. It's just like, here's a new guy. And you're I have no connection with him.
He wrestles like everyone else. Then he does a little poise, kind of like a little pause.
I tell you, the worst dance he does is when the dancer comes in, who's the college student who accompanied him very briefly. They did get rid of, and that she got replaced rather by Summer Rae, who was one of the divas at the time, the female performers. But there's a bit where he's in with the college student in the ring, and she is just sort of doing a splits and sort of like, you know, graceful pose, and he's just sort of level with her head, just grinding at her crotch. Like, what's a dance move? Oh yeah, it's just grinding at a woman.
What would I be doing in a club?
Yeah, grinding near your head. So they had this match. It's you know, it is what it is. It didn't really work. It ends with Fandango pinning Jericho. When you're a debuting star as well, you want to have a thing where you win convincingly so that people go, okay, you know, I see he's different. You know, he's going to be a big star. Mm. And what he does here is he wins with a sort of roll-up and then looks really surprised like he's done it. And you're like, all right, if you've got no faith in yourself to beat Jericho, why do you think I would have? You know, just loads of mistakes like that. I mean, what happens that's really interesting is British and Scottish fans.
Right.
Right. And what happens is on the Raw after this, for some reason, when he comes out, the British and Scottish fans have become quite obsessed with his theme tune.
Right.
And so when they go, please welcome Fandango.
It's a stinking theme tune as well.
Da-da. Da, 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 like that,
yeah.
Right? I always get it a bit wrong because I always go do 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 do,
right?
Which is better. Oh, right. But what happens is on the way back from WrestleMania, on the Raw the next day, they begin they chant along to the music,
right?
And it's so loud that the cameras start cutting to them, and everyone's going do do do. A slight thing of that they don't have in America, which is the football terrace,
which is
you know, there's a song you all sing along, doo-doo, arms up, do 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 do, and Fandango comes out, and he is
scared,
tricked. He is tricked because he comes out and goes, I'm a huge fucking star.
WrestleMania went very well.
They are singing so loud and so big. I believe that the night before coming back from WrestleMania, half of the reason it started was a load of Scottish fans began singing on the train that took them back into New York.
Right.
And there's a video on YouTube of the entire train doing Fandango's thing on the way back.
Oh,
communal
lovely.
Wrestling, yeah. You know. By the time Fandango comes out, he is like, I am a huge fan. This song is so popular in Britain that overnight, it must be after the Raw, it jumps from 171 in the iTunes charts to number 11 in a day. This is in the UK. And then it settles at number 44 by the week's end.
Has any WrestleMania theme ever done that?
No.
They've tried to sell records as best they can.
The WWE actually labelled it as its own phenomenon called Fandangoing. I mean, they were as surprised as anyone. They actually did loads of, you know, articles about
Good.
It, just going, you know, this has gone nuts. Now, that would be the high point of Fandango's career.
Right, okay.
I hate this as a gimmick. Mm. I hate this as a gimmick. Why are you called a dance and then with the word, you know, I just hate it.
I couldn't figure out the Fandango, because Fandango fundamentally, everyone knows that word, and also everyone can say that word.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's three syllables.
Entirely. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's, you know, there must be more difficult dancing terms, but I also have that thing of going, what are you?
Yeah.
What are you? Are you like an alien from the planet fucking Fandango? And, you know, you do your dance and your whole thing is you're furious that Earth people can't dance. What is this? Why aren't you...
Why are you here?
Why aren't you Johnny Madman Curtis and you come out and you wrestle? Why don't you try that for a fucking change? And the whole thing about it was cheesy and it was crap. Mm. In a way, Fandango at this time is as bad a character as Duke the Dumpster Drosy. You know, I am the dancing one. I do the dance.
Who's the Spanish sort of? I don't. He looked like a Matador kind of character. Who
Tito
was,
Santana?
In Street Fighter.
Oh, in Street Fighter.
I can't remember his name. Whoever he is, he had a cool kind of like dancing look.
Yeah,
and you can do it the right way, but I think the dancing thing doesn't really. It's like be. Give him a bit of talking or something. I can't figure out what the. I don't know.
What it is he sort of seemed to. I don't know. I don't think he knew what he was supposed to be. Who is Fandango? Is my big question. Who is he? A dancer, or is he a wrestler who is like, I believe in the beauty of dance,
yeah.
or what is he?
And that's before we get.
What
to,
is he?
That's before we get to Jericho's LED cut.
Yes,
that probably looked amazing backstage in a dark room.
Yeah,
but very much looks like fuck all when you are in a massive auditorium in front of fireworks. Like I said, it just doesn't translate.
It's worth watching his return at the Royal Rumble, where people aren't expecting him to be there. I think he comes in at number two or whatever.
Oh, lovely!
And it is that thing of that's where he debuts that jacket, and it is dark, and it just begins running across his back, and everyone. It's like, wow.
The place is too big. It's too big for that.
It's open air as well, isn't it? So yeah. It's too light. There's no way of darkening it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Fandango thing, I watched, and this is now Fandango is one of those guys as well who has managed to have a WWE career that's lasted a long time. Mm. Because of his time in development, I think he's already been there for 11 years.
Right.
And so this is 2013, that's 7 years ago. He's one of those people who. You continually expect when they make the rounds of redundancies that he's going to be there. His career is just a low thing. Now, he seems like a really nice guy, and he's on NXT, and he's not a bad wrestler by any stretch of the imagination. But there is a funny thing about if you have your debut at WrestleMania and you beat Chris Jericho. By the way, Chris Jericho was not happy about having to lose. He was furious.
Really?
The only thing that sorted him out was apparently he got the biggest payday that he ever got in his WWE career.
Right.
At WrestleMania, it was for that match. Fandango. And I think there's a slight thing there, which is like, this is money for your hurt feelings, because they knew it would upset him.
Yeah.
But he had to lose to a guy who no one had ever seen before, and actually who would go on to do absolutely nothing. He's one of those rare people, I think, Fandango, who you couldn't even say, and who had a single run as Intercontinental Champion.
Mm.
Never done.
Yeah.
Just nothing.
Yeah.
Over the years, they've even got rid of the dancing gimmick, so now he just comes out and they go, Fandango, and he'll sort of go, ooh. And it's like, I mean, you know, Jesus Christ. The gimmick was... totally expendable,
yeah.
But also without it, what are you? What are you?
He sold the code breaker very well, I thought.
It's
a beautiful song.
He's not a bad wrestler, but, you know, as we say, you know, fine is the enemy of everything that's great in wrestling.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Big shit.
Well, that is the end of the surprisingly lengthy, girthy WrestleMania show. This has been the second dose of WrestleMania 29. If you would like to hear what happens next week, you can listen right now over on our Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleMe. And also, you get an extra show on there, and you get a newsletter, and you get ad-free WrestleMe. It's not a bad deal. Mark, WrestleMe.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.